Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. While my children were little and they went to school, well, we made their lunches every day. So, you know, some parents do. You make sure your kids have something good to eat, stuff that you know that they're going to eat, stuff they like, that kind of thing. But when they were little, they wanted to do what the other kids did. And many of their friends ate lunch at school. The school lunch, that is. And so day after day, I would hear, "Dad, can we eat lunch at school?" You know, meaning they wanted to buy the school lunch. And I'm like, "No, I'm making your lunch." But again, "Dad," you know, day after day. You know, it's one of those things where you get tired of hearing it, right? So I finally decided, it's like, well, I looked to see how much I was spending per week and what it cost at the school and that kind of thing. And basically, it was about a wash. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this under one condition. It's like, if I buy the meal ticket, you're going to have to eat at school until all the meals are done. I said, you just can't eat one and decide, no, I want you to make my lunch, and then I get stuck with a meal ticket. You're going to have to eat all the way through, okay? And they're like, okay. Of course, you know, at this point in time, they're that little. They don't know what they just got themselves into. So I went and bought the meal tickets, and they were all excited. Well, guess what? By Friday of that week, "Dad," I'm like, "What? Can you make our lunches?" And I'm like, "Why? Well, we don't like the food at school." And I'm like, "Well, what did I just say to you guys, you know, when I bought the meal tickets?" "Well, we have to eat at school." I said, "That's right. You're going to have to eat until that meal ticket's all gone, because I'm not going to waste any money." "Dad." I'm like, "I got you what you wanted. Don't complain." Well, how often are we like that? You know, we want things to be different. We don't appreciate what we have until we try something else, and then we want to go back. Aren't we kind of like what the Israelites were back here in the day? Sure we are. Consider how they complained all the time. They didn't like the food. "Oh, this manna, we've had this day after day after day." And even though it met every nutritional need that they needed, okay, the body needed, they still complained. And then if that wasn't bad enough, there's no water, you know. Their clothes, you know, think about this. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. So you could wear your favorite outfit every day and it wouldn't wear out. We'd still have bell bottoms, you know, it'd be awesome. But, no, they complained. Didn't matter. Their feet didn't swell. Their joints didn't ache in the morning. Boy, I would love that. You know, I wake up every morning, my shoulder, I tell you. Anyway, what did they do? They continued to complain and complain and complain until God had heard enough. He's like, "Hey, I got you the meal ticket. I provide for your needs. And you guys want to go back to slavery? You want to go back to Egypt?" Well, God had had enough with his kids complaining. It's kind of back when I was little, my dad used to say, "I've had it up to here," you know. Well, that's what God did. He's had it up to here with his children here. And so, well, he decided he was going to do something about it. Time to discipline them. And so in came the fiery serpents, the snakes there. The snakes were biting the people and people were dying. Now, what is the purpose of discipline? Well, it's to bring about change, right? When we talk about a relationship with God, changing one's behavior for the better, well, we call that repentance. So we're no longer breaking God's commandments. We're keeping God's commandments. That's what he wants them. And so the snakes brought that change about quickly. People repented of their sins. They go running back. "Moses, you know, we're sorry. We sinned against you and against God. You know, pray to God and have him stop sending the snakes." Well, God provided a remedy for the people. Told them, put a bronze snake on a pole. And anytime somebody is bit, all they need to do, when you have that pole lifted up there and they look at the bronze snake, well, then the people were healed. Now notice God didn't stop sending the snakes. He still did. It's just that when they were bit, this time, though, if they looked at the bronze snake, well, then they would be saved. Now, think about this. Looking at the snake, well, that's an act of faith, right? It's not like there's anti-venom there coming out of this thing, but rather it's all about faith, knowing that God would take care of them, would save them. Well, that is what Jesus is speaking about in our gospel reading. When he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, being lifted up, well, that's a euphemism for being nailed to a cross. It's kind of like somebody does a crime and you say, well, they're going to get the chair for that. Well, we understand what that means. That means that that person for that crime is going to get the electric chair and they're going to be executed for that crime. Well, being lifted up, again, people would know that if somebody was lifted up, that they're going to be nailed to a cross. But yet Jesus is saying here that when he is lifted up, everyone who believes in him would have eternal life. Now, what a strange thing to say. Certainly disciples said so. But Jesus went on, and, well, he said a little bit more about that as well, explained himself a bit more. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Well, those are words we know so very well, words in which God explains very clearly that he loves everyone. God would have the world be saved. And that's why he gave his only Son. No one talks about giving his only Son there. Well, that means he's giving his only Son up to be crucified, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And that sacrifice is going to happen again when Jesus is lifted up on the cross. And therefore, you who believe in Jesus, you will be saved. And that's why Jesus says that whoever believes in him will not perish. You will not die, but rather you will have eternal life. So, the people need to be saved. Well, that means that they do not have eternal life now. And so if one does not have eternal life, that means that they're in a wrong position with God. Listen to how Jesus explains it. He says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Now Jesus makes it clear here that God didn't make this world here so he could condemn it. God is not an evil God where he creates something so that he can destroy it later, you know, wad it all up, like, ha! That's sick. God's not like that, okay? Rather, he makes it clear there that when Jesus is lifted up, he's giving an opportunity for everyone to believe, for everyone to be saved. But yet at the same time, though, well, if you don't believe, well, then you've already condemned yourself. You see, Jesus says light has come into the world. He said that about himself, that he is the light of the world, that it's come into the world. But yet, though, people like to do their own thing, do they not? They want to go their own way. They see everybody else getting the school meal, so they want to get it too. You know, that's what we want to do at times, because we see, well, everybody else is doing it. So we want to do that same thing too. But the trouble with following the crowd is that sometimes the world is not following the Lord. They're doing things contrary to what God would have us do. And this is the example that Jesus is using here. And it applies both to the believer and the non-believer. Because the world can tempt us to turn us away from God. And we can get sucked into believing that Jesus is not really as important as he used to be. Because, you know, I was baptized when I was little, and so I know my sins are forgiven, so I don't need to go and worship him every Sunday. Well, when you start following that attitude there, you're starting to go down that path that leads away from God. Because when you do, you feel that God and Jesus has less importance in your life each and every day. And so, what happens then? Well, you get snake bit. And if you get bit with that kind of attitude, you have a chance of falling into the category that Jesus spoke of. I never knew you. You'll be condemned. And that's why Jesus is addressing us here this morning, talking about the darkness, returning to the darkness yet again. Now, truth be told, I can't tell when a person has completely rejected God and when they haven't. Fortunately, that's God's job, and he knows a person's heart, and he knows it perfectly. But my job is to warn folks about the consequences of ignoring God's commandments. For just as a snake is a reminder to repent, so are the situations we might find ourselves in at times, situations in which we have been bitten, times in which we have brought pain upon ourselves because of our own situations and our own disobedient actions. And what do these serve as a reminder for us? To turn back to the light, to turn back to the Lord. So we need to repent. So we might find ourselves saying once in a while, it's like, Lord, you know, I've really been complaining an awful lot here lately. You know, you've been taking care of me. You give me home. I've got clothes. I've got food. Thank you, Lord, for those things. Forgive me for my attitude and my unthankfulness. All because you who believe in Jesus know that he has been lifted up. Well, you have forgiveness. You will not perish. You have everlasting life. You see, that's why we look to the cross and to the empty tomb. Because at the cross, we find forgiveness. In the empty tomb, we have the hope of everlasting life. That is where we find the healing that we need in our own lives. And when we go there, and when we see that, we know that, yes, indeed, we will walk in the light. That we can walk in the light. That God calls us to walk in the light. Why? Because we who believe in Jesus Christ, who was lifted high on that cross, who died for us, who rose for us, we have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life. That's important to remember, because when we do, that's when we really truly know and understand those words. Because God so loved the world, because God so loved you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.